This from RJ Denton to open up the show. RJ writes, if Marcus Mariota makes the team, then the coaching staff is pandering to Jaden Daniels. Mariota is worse than Driscoll. If it's about the best player and winning football games, as it should be, Mariota shouldn't be on the team. It should be Driscoll and Sam Hartman, who at least is an unknown, whereas Mariota is known by everybody to be terrible. Good morning, everybody. What a morning it is. Oh, my God. It felt like fall out there. There is, I'm sure, a lot more summer weather to go. I saw the extended. It looks like we're back in the upper 80s and even some 90s maybe next week. But, man, it felt so good out there. I was up early. It was 55 degrees. I mean, you could almost sense that we were only a few degrees away from seeing your breath, which is a sure sign of fall. Can't wait for fall. There's something about fall around here. Our summers aren't that great. Our winters are hit and miss, but fall and spring around here, pretty nice, especially fall. And it's always a sign that we are in football season. We'll get there eventually, but it felt great today. A guest-heavy show we have over the next 3 hours. Diana Russini will be with us at 11 a.m. Jeff Ehrman, who covers Maryland sports, will jump on with us at about 11:35. The Terps, excuse me, I had to clear my throat there. The Terps open up a week from Saturday against UConn. And it's the beginning of a new era because Talia Tungavailoa, you know, Tua's brother, Leah Tungavailoa, is no longer at Maryland. After 4 years, he's gone. So it's a new era. They're supposed to be pretty good, probably bowl good. They've won 3 bowls in a row. But Jeff Ehrman's following all of the depth chart, Terps football issues. Who's going to start at quarterback when they open up a week from Saturday? He'll join us in the 11 a.m. hour. Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus at noon. And Sam Monson, who we've had on the show many times in the past, was at PFF forever. He was actually one of the very first hires at PFF. But he has left PFF. He's now with the 33rd team. He'll join us at 12:30. So that's about as many guests as we do on a show. Denton. Typically, I don't know, what's our average guest count per show? 2? Average? Probably something like 2. Denton, you there?
Sorry, microphone not on. Rookie mistake over here.
You got to turn the mic on.
Yeah, there, I mean, yeah. That's rule number one. I would say 2 or 2.5. You know, maybe 2.5.
I'd say it's between 2 and 2.5. I'd say it's between 1.5 and 2. Is the average. Anyway, we have 4 on today. That's pretty much the max for us, typically. So I wanted to get to RJ's thoughts, because I don't think he's alone in his sentiment on Marcus Mariota. But let me just start with, honestly, this is really an issue. We're going to be upset if Marcus Mariota makes the team over Jeff Driscoll. First of all, there's a chance they both might make the team, but this is not, I don't think, a real concern. It isn't for me. I don't think it should be for anybody else. I read RJ's email because I know others feel the same. This came from Paul last week. Mariota's in trouble and should be. Terrible acquisition to begin with. This came from Dell. Is Mariota going to make the team, Kevin? I'm not sure, and I wouldn't care. He's not a good quarterback. I'd rather have Heinicke back if Atlanta cuts him. Is Atlanta going to cut Taylor Heinicke?
Hopefully for the sake of his argument, no.
Yeah, because if he got released, can you imagine how many people here would want him back? Like, cut Mariota, cut Driscoll, cut Sam Hartman, just bring Taylor back. Let Taylor work with Jaden Daniels. By the way, Taylor is a fine person to have in your quarterback room. I'm not knocking that at all. I just think it's funny that, you know, the idea from Dell that he'd want Heinicke back. There's still a lot of Heinicke people out there. There's no doubt about that. So there are a couple of things here. First of all, and I've said this before, I don't think that Marcus Mariota is going anywhere. They signed him to a one-year $6 million deal, and they gave him $5.4 million guaranteed money. Now, that's not a massive contract. I understand that. It's a healthy contract for a backup quarterback, and I think they gave him that deal, and they gave him that guaranteed money because they expected him to be on the roster, and they expected him to be a guy that would be able to mentor a player that plays like him stylistically and is about to go through a lot of the same things that Marcus Mariota did. I would also point you to the Jaden Daniels press conference from Monday, you know, shortly after Dan Quinn announced officially that Jaden would be the starting quarterback. Jaden took the podium, and we played some of his sound yesterday, but he mentioned Marcus Mariota several times during the press conference. The first he mentioned was when he was told that he was going to be the starting quarterback, he said, "A shout out to Marcus Mariota for taking me under his wing, being a great mentor." He also gave, you know, Jeff Driskel a shout out and said, "They're looking out for me and helping me out a lot." He answered a question about being able to earn the trust of his teammates, and he said, "We've got great veterans around, and Marcus, for him to be able to go out there and take me under his wing, helped mold me to be prepared, giving me pointers after plays, things we might see with this look, that look, you might have to do this and stuff like that. So we got great veterans around." But this is the soundbite that if you actually believe Marcus Mariota is in trouble in terms of making this team, or should be, this was Jaden Daniels answering a question during the presser on Monday when he was asked the best lesson quarterback Marcus Mariota has shared with him. Here's what Jaden Daniels said.
"Biggest or most important lesson that like Marcus has shared with you throughout this time, like what do you find you taking from him?"
Me and Marcus kind of got a similar story. I mean, we're blessed enough to win a Heisman, blessed enough to get drafted at the same spot. And, you know, coming in early, I know that he had a lot of expectations on him, especially coming out as a rookie and getting drafted that high. And he kind of felt like he had to wear the cape, stuff like that. So he's just giving me his experience through this time through the league, his knowledge, and he's been instrumental in my development so far here. Without him, I wouldn't be in this position right now. So, I mean, I appreciate Mark as always.
I mean, look, at the end, when he says he's been instrumental in my development so far here, without him, I wouldn't be in this position right now. So, I mean, I appreciate Marcus always. He mentioned Marcus Mariota multiple times. There's clearly a relationship there. Marcus Mariota has taken him under his wing. He said that a couple of times. He's mentoring Jaden Daniels. This is what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and probably Cliff Kingsbury and Tavita Pritchard and others envisioned. Now, some might say, well, that's not what you should be envisioning. You should be envisioning, you know, the distinct possibility that you don't have your starting quarterback for 17 games because it happens all the time. And the goal is to win games. So you need a good backup quarterback. So that should have been the first, you know, goal in acquiring a second quarterback in the offseason is we need somebody that, by the way, if we get it wrong on Jaden, can start. Secondly, if Jaden gets hurt, he can play and we have a chance to continue to be competitive with him in the lineup. I would actually say that that is important in 9 out of 10 situations. That's top priority in 9 out of 10 situations. But this is a bit unique. There is something to be said for having Marcus Mariota in the building and having already built up this relationship with Jaden Daniels. I don't know Marcus Mariota. I haven't spent a lot of time reading about Marcus Mariota in different spots. You know, the one sort of exposure to Mariota, I think a lot of us got, was last summer during the Netflix quarterback series when Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota were profiled from the 2022 season. And he, you know, he actually was having a pretty decent season in Atlanta as the starting quarterback. Then he got benched and then he took flight. He went AWOL for a bit. Now, they passed it off as an injury, but there was discussion that he actually left the team. Remember, they drafted Desmond Ridder, and they were out of contention. They basically fell out of contention when they came here Thanksgiving weekend 2022 and had the ball down at the one-yard line, and Mariota had driven them all the way down the field, down six in the final moments of that game. And Daron Payne got a fingertip on a pass over the middle, which I think was intended for, believe it or not, Zacchaeus, Olamide Zacchaeus, who in that game had five catches for 91 yards. It got tipped, and Kendall Fuller picked it off, and Washington got their record to, I think it was 7-5. And Atlanta fell to 5-7 and kind of out of the playoff race. He started the next week and then was benched and then kind of went AWOL, you know? But I don't think Marcus Mariota has a history of being a malcontent in organizations. You know, Marcus Mariota had not started prior to the Atlanta game. He had not started a game in nearly 2.5 years. His last year in Tennessee, got hurt, played in six games, started six games, then ended up with the Raiders, where he didn't start a game in 2020. And then with the Raiders in 2021, he did not start a game. He played in some games in relief, but very limited relief. So he basically had 2 years off, became the starter in Atlanta, and did not have a bad year. In 13 starts, they went 5-8. You know, and it was those last two losses that kind of knocked him out of contention. 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He also ended up having a lower sack percentage number than he had had in his last few years in Tennessee. He was definitely a bit of a dual threat guy. You know, working with Arthur Smith, who was the head coach in Atlanta. Arthur Smith now in Pittsburgh is the offensive coordinator. It'll be interesting to see what Pittsburgh's offense looks like with Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields. And, you know, he was a threat with his legs in that season. And he was, you know, he ended up with 440 yards rushing in 13 games, 4 touchdowns rushing. He rushed for 30 first downs during that season in Atlanta. And then he ended up in Philadelphia last year after they, you know, decided to try to make Desmond Ridder work last year. That it didn't work, which is why they went out and paid you-know-who to the big deal and ended up also drafting a quarterback this year. But Marcus Mariota, there's not a lot that I know, but clearly Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have a sense of who Marcus Mariota is. And they felt like Marcus Mariota would be a quality backup, maybe not the best backup they could have gotten, but the guy that was going to be the best fit with Jaden Daniels. And based on what Jaden Daniels has said so far, specifically the presser on Monday, it sounds like Mariota is doing his number one job right now, which is to be there as a sounding board and to help develop and be a part of the development team of the most prized recruit this franchise has had in a long time. And the guy that is going to be counted on, you know, to lift this organization out of this 30-some-odd year, you know, desert trip, wilderness trip. And I think they've done a great job of just adding a lot of quality voices. I mean, I love the Kingsbury hire, Tavita Pritchard, David Blau. You know, they've got some people in the room, including the head coach, that makes for a healthy situation for a young quarterback, and I think Marcus Mariota is part of that. He's not going anywhere, people. If he gets cut on Tuesday, I'll be shocked after what Jaden Daniels said. Now, RJ, that may make your point, actually. It may actually support what you're saying, which is if he ends up being here, it's because Jaden wants him here, and you don't think that's a good thing. I personally don't think it would be a bad thing, and I also think you're way over-projecting on Marcus's ability to play football in the NFL. He didn't play at all last year in Philadelphia, but the last time we saw him as a 29-year-old starter 2 years ago in Atlanta, he wasn't terrible. He was actually decent during that season. You go back and you look at the game log from 2022, the games that he had that year, he had some good football games. He had some really good combined, you know, passing rushing games. The opener that year, they lost, you know, on a missed field goal at the gun, 27-26, or made field goal at the gun in to New Orleans. But he threw for 215, no touchdowns, no picks, but rushed for 72 yards and a touchdown in the game. Didn't get sacked in the game. There were a couple of other games during the course of the year. They got on a bit of a roll. They won at one point 4 of 6 games. And they beat San Francisco 28-14 in a game in Atlanta. He was 13 of 14, threw 2 touchdowns in the game, and rushed for 50 yards and a touchdown. You know, that was a 49er team that was pretty damn good. And they pounded the 49ers, and he was 13 of 14. 2 touchdown passes, and rushed for 50 yards and a touchdown. So he's not that far removed from having some pretty good football games in 2022. He ain't going anywhere. I'd be stunned. And as far as Jeff Driskel goes, RJ, seriously? I've been impressed with the way he's played and scrapped in these preseason games against a lot of guys that aren't going to be in the league when the season starts. But do you know what Jeff Driskel's done in the NFL's regular season? He is 1-10 as a starter, completing 58.6% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a sack percentage average of 10%, which is high. He's got some legs on him, though. His best QBR season as a starter was 49.9. His last season in which he started more than one game, his QBR was 20.9. Hey. What?
Was he arguing for Driskel over Mariota? It sounded to me like he was arguing more for Sam Hartman over Mariota, knowing they would, because he named 3 quarterbacks, so the expectation was they would keep 3. It sounded like he was arguing for Sam Hartman.
He said Mariota is worse than Driskel. If it's about the best player in winning football games, Mariota shouldn't be on the team. It should be Driskel and Sam Hartman, who at least is an unknown, whereas Mariota is known by everybody to be terrible. He's not known by everybody to be terrible. That's a false narrative. Okay, nobody's saying that Marcus Mariota should be a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore, but he is definitely one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a high-quality backup, but more importantly, again, the circumstance here is you've got two guys that essentially have come into the same situation. Daniels has come into the same situation Mariota was in. Mariota got drafted in 2015, number 2 overall, by the Tennessee Titans after Jameis Winston was picked. He went to a team that was 2-14 the year before. He went to a team in which there was a lot of change in the offing. Mike Mularkey was about to become the new head coach, although he didn't start off Mariota's rookie year as the head coach. It was Wisenhunt, and then Mularkey took over, and then Mularkey ended up being the coach there for a few years. But Mariota actually had 2 good years to start his career, Denton. I don't know if you knew that. He had a 26-9 year. Hold on, let me just find it here. Second, give me a second. His second year in the league, 15 starts, team went 8-7, threw for 3,426 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he rushed that year in 2016, rushed for 349 yards that year. Marcus Mariota isn't, you know, he might be just a guy, but he is totally capable of being a backup quarterback in the league. And the price isn't outrageous by any stretch when it comes to backup quarterbacks with that much experience. And his real value, again, may come as a guy that is there as a player in that room with Jaden Daniels that Daniels has already told you he's leaning on. And he's been a tremendous help. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I'd be shocked if he goes anywhere. I'll tell you one bad sign for him would be if he plays Sunday night against New England, which I don't think he's going to do. I think we'll see Driscoll and McSorley, right? I don't think we're going to see Hartman at this point. Marcus Mariota is going to be the backup quarterback. If he isn't, I'll sit here and eat crow on Wednesday's show after the Tuesday cutdowns. But I can't imagine they're going to cut him, and I personally don't want them to cut Marcus Mariota, not after what Jaden Daniels has said about him. And that's not pandering. It was their idea to bring him in for the reasons that Jaden's expressing now. You know, they're not pandering. They came up with the idea to go sign Marcus Mariota. Who were the other quarterbacks that were possibilities as backups?
They had Jacoby.
Darnold was too expensive.
Jacoby, they just decided to go a different direction. You might have been able to go for Gardner Minshew, but now he's a starting quarterback, so he probably was too expensive.
He wasn't going to sign
too. So, yeah, I mean, Marcus Mariota was the best option, given that they only wanted to spend a certain amount of money because they want to keep the big cap for either next year or the year after.
And don't you think he was the best option also because of the way he plays? You know, Sam Darnold doesn't play this way. Jacoby Brissett doesn't play this way. The way Cliff Kingsbury is planning on using Jaden Daniels, which I can't wait to see for sure, but part of it is going to be stylistically dual threat. Marcus Mariota's been dual threat, including with Arthur Smith the last time he played 2 years ago in Atlanta. They ran a ton of zone read. I have no problem. I didn't have a problem at the time. I've never been a Marcus Mariota, you know, hater, for the lack of a better description. The one thing that's always bothered me about Marcus Mariota, and I've talked about this many times over the years, especially when they played in some big games early in his career, because they did. You know, he played in the playoffs a couple of times. You know, they beat Kansas City that year when he threw a pass to himself. Remember, it got deflected back to himself. That was the last year of Alex Smith starting. They were down like 21-3, something like that. They came back and won the game. Derrick Henry was a big part of that game, but he was pretty good in that game. And then they ended up losing to the Patriots in the next round. And I don't know if he played in another playoff game. I'm looking at it. But the things that used to drive me nuts about Mariota is he was just too laid back on the field. There just wasn't at times the sense of urgency that I thought was necessary. Talent-wise, he's got it. You know, he can make every throw. Obviously, he's incredible as a runner. This guy's one of the best college quarterbacks of the last 25 years. And the similarities of their senior years, I mean, it's almost identical. I think we looked that up a few months ago, looking at Mariota's final year at Oregon and Jaden's final year at LSU. The big difference was Oregon had a better team and was in the postseason. And Jaden didn't get LSU there, but it certainly wasn't his fault. Anyway, that's how we're starting the show today. We're talking about Marcus Mariota, the backup quarterback. I think there are bigger issues right now. And that's what I wanted to get to, which is, you know, we are now coming up on two weekends from the opener. I hate, by the way, I love the three preseason games. Four would be a joke, and they can't do four with 17. But I almost wish the preseason would start a little bit later. We got 2 weeks between the last preseason weekend and the beginning of the regular season. I mean, this will be the third straight year of that, so we'll get used to it. But it used to be just over a week, and then you were ready to roll. They're going to cut down. I mean, you know, somebody mentioned this to me on Twitter, and I'm not going to go look to see who it was, but you know who sent this. You know who you are who sent this, and I appreciate it. That if Jaden doesn't play Sunday night, which I don't think he will, then he will not have stepped onto FedEx Field to take a snap until it counts, which would be against the Giants in week two. That'll be his first moment at FedEx Field. And I think the guy that tweeted me said, isn't there some benefit of having him go out there, take some snaps in one drive just to get the feel of FedEx Field? Honestly, I can't answer that. A player is much would be much more qualified to answer that, whether or not it really matters. You know, maybe they'll head over there in that week in between and have a practice there. I have no idea what the plans are. But it is a good point. I mean, I think the better point is that if he doesn't play on Sunday night, it will have been 3 weeks since he took a snap between the Miami game and the New England game. In the Tampa game, excuse me. So 3 weeks will have passed. I mean, that's not a bye week. That's multiple bye weeks. And then you're playing the season opener at Tampa. By the way, has Baker Mayfield played at all in the preseason?
I don't believe so. I can check. I can't imagine if he has played. He hasn't played a ton.
In their first game, it was just Trask and John Wolford. So he didn't play in the first game. In the second game... Yeah, he hasn't played. In fact, they haven't played any of their starters. Interesting, because I don't see Mike Evans. I don't see any normal starters. I don't even see normal starters on defense. So it looks like Todd Bowles basically has given his starters the preseason off, unless they're going to play in the finale. Tampa plays, who do they play? They play the Dolphins on Friday night. But 3 weeks from the New England, from the Miami game, actually a bit more than 3 weeks, 22 days between the Miami game and the time that Jaden takes the field for real against Tampa Bay. But to me, backup quarterback is nowhere near an issue for me on the list of concerns that I have right now about the roster. What I want to know from you at 301-230-0980, now that we are nearing the end of the preseason, and maybe for the players that are truly going to play when the regular season starts, it may be over for good. What is your number one concern? Because I think we've got a couple of areas that need discussing. But what is the number one concern for you heading into the regular season? 301-230-0980. I think this would have been a consensus offensive line answer before training camp started. I don't know that offensive line is at the top of the list anymore. I want your answer at 301-230-0980. What is your number one roster concern right now as we head towards the regular season? I'll give you my answer. Denton will give you his. And we will take your calls next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live always on the Odyssey app. This from RJ Denton to open up the show. RJ writes, if Marcus Mariota makes the team, then the coaching staff is pandering to Jaden Daniels. Mariota is worse than Driscoll. If it's about the best player and winning football games, as it should be, Mariota shouldn't be on the team. It should be Driscoll and Sam Hartman, who at least is an unknown, whereas Mariota is known by everybody to be terrible. Good morning, everybody. What a morning it is. Oh, my God. It felt like fall out there. There is, I'm sure, a lot more summer weather to go. I saw the extended. It looks like we're back in the upper 80s and even some 90s maybe next week. But man, it felt so good out there. I was up early. It was 55 degrees. I mean, you could almost sense that we were only a few degrees away from seeing your breath, which is a sure sign of fall. Can't wait for fall. There's something about fall around here. Our summers aren't that great. Our winters are hit and miss, but fall and spring around here, pretty nice, especially fall. And it's always a sign that we are in football season. We'll get there eventually, but it felt great today. A guest-heavy show we have over the next 3 hours. Diana Russini will be with us at 11 a.m. Jeff Ehrman, who covers Maryland sports, will jump on with us at about 11:35. The Terps, excuse me, I had to clear my throat there. The Terps open up a week from Saturday against UConn. And it's the beginning of a new era because Talia Tungavailoa, you know, Tua's brother, Leah Tungavailoa, is no longer at Maryland. After 4 years, he's gone. So it's a new era. They're supposed to be pretty good, probably bowl good. They've won three bowls in a row. But Jeff Ehrman's following all of the depth chart, Terps football issues. Who's going to start at quarterback when they open up a week from Saturday? He'll join us in the 11 a.m. hour. Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus at noon. And Sam Monson, who we've had on the show many times in the past, was at PFF forever. He was actually one of the very first hires at PFF. But he has left PFF. He's now with the 33rd team. He'll join us at 12:30. So that's about as many guests as we do on a show. Denton. Typically, I don't know, what's our average guest count per show? Two? Average? Probably something like two. Denton, you there?
Sorry, microphone not on. Rookie mistake over here.
You got to turn the mic on.
Yeah, there, I mean, yeah. That's rule number one. I would say two or 2.5. You know, maybe two and a half.
I'd say it's between two and 2.5. I'd say it's between 1.5 and two. Is the average. Anyway, we have four on today. That's pretty much the max for us, typically. So I wanted to get to RJ's thoughts, because I don't think he's alone in his sentiment on Marcus Mariota. But let me just start with, honestly, this is really an issue. We're going to be upset if Marcus Mariota makes the team over Jeff Driskel. First of all, there's a chance they both might make the team, but this is not, I don't think, a real concern. It isn't for me. I don't think it should be for anybody else. I read RJ's email because I know others feel the same. This came from Paul last week. Mariota's in trouble and should be. Terrible acquisition to begin with. This came from Dell. Is Mariota going to make the team, Kevin? I'm not sure, and I wouldn't care. He's not a good quarterback. I'd rather have Heinicke back if Atlanta cuts him. Is Atlanta going to cut Taylor Heinicke?
Hopefully for the sake of his argument, no.
Yeah, because if he got released, can you imagine how many people here would want him back? Like, cut Mariota, cut Driskel, cut Sam Hartman, just bring Taylor back. Let Taylor work with Jaden Daniels. By the way, Taylor is a fine person to have in your quarterback room. I'm not knocking that at all. I just think it's funny that, you know, the idea from Dell that he'd want Heinicke back. There's still a lot of Heinicke people out there. There's no doubt about that. So there are a couple of things here. First of all, and I've said this before, I don't think that Marcus Mariota is going anywhere. They signed him to a one-year, $6 million deal, and they gave him $5.4 million guaranteed money. Now, that's not a massive contract. I understand that. It's a healthy contract for a backup quarterback, and I think they gave him that deal, and they gave him that guaranteed money because they expected him to be on the roster, and they expected him to be a guy that would be able to mentor a player that plays like him stylistically and is about to go through a lot of the same things that Marcus Mariota did. I would also point you to the Jaden Daniels press conference from Monday, you know, shortly after Dan Quinn announced officially that Jaden would be the starting quarterback. Jaden took the podium, and we played some of his sound yesterday, but he mentioned Marcus Mariota several times during the press conference. The first he mentioned was when he was told that he was going to be the starting quarterback, he said, a shout out to Marcus Mariota for taking me under his wing, being a great mentor. He also gave, you know, Jeff Driskel a shout out and said, they're looking out for me and helping me out a lot. He answered a question about being able to earn the trust of his teammates. And he said, we've got great veterans around, and Marcus, for him to be able to go out there and take me under his wing, helped mold me to be prepared, giving me pointers after plays, things we might see with this look, that look, you might have to do this and stuff like that. So we got great veterans around. But this is the soundbite that if you actually believe Marcus Mariota is in trouble in terms of making this team, or should be, This was Jaden Daniels answering a question during the presser on Monday when he was asked the best lesson quarterback Marcus Mariota has shared with him. Here's what Jaden Daniels said.
Biggest or most important lesson that like Marcus has shared with you throughout this time, like what do you find you taking from him?
Me and Marcus kind of got a similar story. I mean, we're blessed enough to win a Heisman, blessed enough to get drafted at the same spot. And, you know, coming in early, I know that he had a lot of expectations on him, especially coming out as a rookie and getting drafted that high. And he kind of felt like he had to wear the cape, stuff like that. So he's just giving me his experience through this time through the league, his knowledge, and he's been instrumental in my development so far here. Without him, I wouldn't be in this position right now. So, I mean, I appreciate Mark as always.
I mean, look, at the end, when he says he's been instrumental in my development so far here, without him, I wouldn't be in this position right now. So, I mean, I appreciate Marcus always. He mentioned Marcus Mariota multiple times. There's clearly a relationship there. Marcus Mariota has taken him under his wing. He said that a couple of times. He's mentoring Jaden Daniels. This is what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and probably Cliff Kingsbury and Tevita Pritchard and others envisioned. Now, some might say, well, that's not what you should be envisioning. You should be envisioning, you know, the distinct possibility that you don't have your starting quarterback for 17 games because it happens all the time. And the goal is to win games. So you need a good backup quarterback. So that should have been the first, you know, goal in acquiring a second quarterback in the offseason is we need somebody that, by the way, if we get it wrong on Jaden, can start. Secondly, if Jaden gets hurt, he can play. And we have a chance to continue to be competitive with him in the lineup. I would actually say that is important in 9 out of 10 situations. That's top priority in 9 out of 10 situations. But this is a bit unique. There is something to be said for having Marcus Mariota in the building and having already built up this relationship with Jaden Daniels. I don't know Marcus Mariota. I haven't spent a lot of time reading about Marcus Mariota in different spots. You know, the one sort of exposure to Mariota, I think a lot of us got, was last summer during the Netflix quarterback series when Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota were profiled from the 2022 season. And he, you know, he actually was having a pretty decent season in Atlanta as the starting quarterback. Then he got benched and then he took flight. He went AWOL for a bit. Now, they passed it off as an injury, but there was discussion that he actually left the team. Remember, they drafted Desmond Ridder, and they were out of contention. They basically fell out of contention when they came here Thanksgiving weekend 2022 and had the ball down at the one-yard line, and Mariota had driven them all the way down the field, down 6 in the final moments of that game, and Daron Payne got a fingertip on a pass over the middle, which I think was intended for, believe it or not, Zacchaeus, Olamide Zacchaeus, who in that game had 5 catches for 91 yards. It got tipped, and Kendall Fuller picked it off, and Washington got their record to, I think it was 7-5, and Atlanta fell to 5-7 and kind of out of the playoff race. He started the next week and then was benched and then kind of went AWOL, you know? But I don't think Marcus Mariota has a history of being a malcontent in organizations. You know, Marcus Mariota had not started prior to the Atlanta game. He had not started a game in nearly 2.5 years. His last year in Tennessee, got hurt, played in 6 games, started 6 games, then ended up with the Raiders, where he didn't start a game in 2020. And then with the Raiders in 2021, he did not start a game. He played in some games in relief, but very limited relief. So he basically had 2 years off, became the starter in Atlanta, and did not have a bad year. In 13 starts, they went 5-8. You know, and it was those last 2 losses that kind of knocked him out of contention. 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He also ended up having a lower sack percentage number than he had had in his last few years in Tennessee. He was definitely a bit of a dual threat guy, working with Arthur Smith, who was the head coach in Atlanta. Arthur Smith now in Pittsburgh is the offensive coordinator. It'll be interesting to see what Pittsburgh's offense looks like with Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields. He was a threat with his legs in that season. And he was, he ended up with 440 yards rushing in 13 games, 4 touchdowns rushing. He rushed for 30 first downs during that season in Atlanta. And then he ended up in Philadelphia last year after they, decided to try to make Desmond Ridder work last year. That it didn't work. Which is why they went out and paid you-know-who to the big deal and ended up also drafting a quarterback this year. But Marcus Mariota, there's not a lot that I know, but clearly Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have a sense of who Marcus Mariota is. And they felt like Marcus Mariota would be a quality backup, maybe not the best backup they could have gotten, but the guy that was going to be the best fit with Jaden Daniels. And based on what Jaden Daniels has said so far, specifically the presser on Monday, it sounds like Mariota is doing his number one job right now, which is to be there as a sounding board and to help develop and be a part of the development team of the most prized recruit this franchise has had in a long time. And the guy that is going to be counted on, to lift this organization out of this 30-some-odd year, desert trip, wilderness trip. And I think they've done a great job of just adding a lot of quality voices. I mean, I love the Kingsbury hire, Tavita Pritchard, David Blau. They've got some people in the room, including the head coach, that makes for a healthy situation for a young quarterback, and I think Marcus Mariota is part of that. He's not going anywhere, people. If he gets cut on Tuesday, I'll be shocked after what Jaden Daniels said. Now, RJ, that may make your point, actually. It may actually support what you're saying, which is if he ends up being here, it's because Jaden wants him here, and you don't think that's a good thing. I personally don't think it would be a bad thing. And I also think you're over projecting on Marcus's ability to play football in the NFL. He didn't play at all last year in Philadelphia, but the last time we saw him as a 29-year-old starter 2 years ago in Atlanta, he wasn't terrible. He was actually decent during that season. You go back and you look at the game log from 2022, the games that he had that year, he had some good football games. He had some really good combined, passing, rushing games. The opener that year, they lost on a missed field goal at the gun, 27-26, or made field goal at the gun to New Orleans. But he threw for 215, no touchdowns, no picks, but rushed for 72 yards and a touchdown in the game. Didn't get sacked in the game. There were a couple of other games during the course of the year. They got on a bit of a roll. They won at one point 4 of 6 games. And they beat San Francisco 28-14 in a game in Atlanta. He was 13 of 14, threw 2 touchdowns in the game, and rushed for 50 yards and a touchdown. That was a 49er team that was pretty damn good. And they pounded the 49ers, and he was 13 of 14, 2 touchdown passes, and rushed for 50 yards and a touchdown. So he's not that far removed from having some pretty good football games in 2022. He ain't going anywhere. I'd be stunned. And as far as Jeff Driskel goes, RJ, seriously? I've been impressed with the way he's played and scrapped in these preseason games against a lot of guys that aren't going to be in the league when the season starts. But do you know what Jeff Driskel's done in the NFL's regular season? He is 1-10 as a starter, completing 58.6% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions and a sack percentage average of 10%, which is high. He's got some legs on him, though. His best QBR season as a starter was 49.9. His last season in which he started more than one game, his QBR was 20.9. Hey, what?
Was he arguing for Driscoll over Mariota? It sounded to me like he was arguing more for Sam Hartman over Mariota, knowing they would, because he named three quarterbacks, so the expectation was they would keep three. It sounded like he was arguing for Sam Hartman.
He said Mariota is worse than Driscoll. If it's about the best player in winning football games, Mariota shouldn't be on the team. It should be Driscoll and Sam Hartman, who at least is an unknown, whereas Mariota is known by everybody to be terrible. He's not known by everybody to be terrible. That's a false narrative. Okay, nobody's saying that Marcus Mariota should be a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore, but he is definitely one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a high-quality backup, but more importantly, again, the circumstance here is you've got two guys that essentially have come into the same situation. Daniels has come into the same situation Mariota was in. Mariota got drafted in 2015, number two overall, by the Tennessee Titans after Jameis Winston was picked. He went to a team that was 2-14 the year before. He went to a team in which there was a lot of change in the offing. Mike Mularkey was about to become the new head coach, although he didn't start off Mariota's rookie year as the head coach. It was Wisenhunt, and then Mularkey took over, and then Mularkey ended up being the coach there for a few years. But Mariota actually had two good years to start his career, Denton. I don't know if you knew that. He had a 26-9 year. Hold on, let me just find it here. Second, give me a second. His second year in the league, 15 starts, team went 8-7, threw for 3,426 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he rushed that year in 2016, rushed for 349 yards that year. Marcus Mariota isn't, you know, he might be just a guy, but he is totally capable of being a backup quarterback in the league. And the price isn't outrageous by any stretch when it comes to backup quarterbacks with that much experience. And his real value, again, may come as a guy that is there as a player in that room with Jaden Daniels that Daniels has already told you he's leaning on. And he's been a tremendous help. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I'd be shocked if he goes anywhere. I'll tell you one bad sign for him would be if he plays Sunday night against New England, which I don't think he's going to do. I think we'll see Driscoll and McSorley, right? I don't think we're going to see Hartman at this point. Marcus Mariota is going to be the backup quarterback. If he isn't, I'll sit here and eat crow on Wednesday's show after the Tuesday cutdowns. But I can't imagine they're going to cut him, and I personally don't want them to cut Marcus Mariota, not after what Jaden Daniels has said about him. And that's not pandering. It was their idea to bring him in for the reasons that Jaden's expressing now. You know, they're not pandering. They came up with the idea to go sign Marcus Mariota. Who were the other quarterbacks that were possibilities as backups?
They had Jacoby.
Darnold was too expensive.
Jacoby, they just decided to go a different direction. You might have been able to go for Gardner Minshew, but now he's a starting quarterback, so he probably was too expensive.
He wasn't going to sign
too. So, yeah, I mean, Marcus Mariota was the best option, given that they only wanted to spend a certain amount of money because they want to keep the big cap for either next year or the year after.
And don't you think he was the best option also because of the way he plays? You know, Sam Darnold doesn't play this way. Jacoby Brissett doesn't play this way. The way Cliff Kingsbury is planning on using Jaden Daniels, which I can't wait to see for sure, but part of it is going to be stylistically dual threat. Marcus Mariota has been dual threat, including with Arthur Smith the last time he played 2 years ago in Atlanta. They ran a ton of zone read. I have no problem. I didn't have a problem at the time. I've never been a Marcus Mariota, you know, hater, for the lack of a better description. The one thing that's always bothered me about Marcus Mariota, and I've talked about this many times over the years, especially when they played in some big games early in his career, because they did. You know, he played in the playoffs a couple of times. You know, they played, they beat Kansas City that year when he threw a pass to himself. Remember, it got deflected back to himself. They came, that was the last year of Alex Smith starting. They were down like 21-3, something like that. They came back and won the game. Derrick Henry was a big part of that game, but he was pretty good in that game. And then they ended up losing to the Patriots in the next round. And I don't know if he played in another playoff game. I'm looking at it. But the things that used to drive me nuts about Mariota is he was just too laid back on the field. There just wasn't at times the sense of urgency that I thought was necessary. Talent-wise, he's got it. You know, he can make every throw. Obviously, he's incredible as a runner. This guy's one of the best college quarterbacks of the last 25 years. And the similarities of their senior years, I mean, it's almost identical. I think we looked that up a few months ago, looking at Mariota's final year at Oregon and Jaden's final year at LSU. The big difference was Oregon had a better team and was in the postseason. And Jaden didn't get LSU there, but it certainly wasn't his fault. Anyway, that's how we're starting the show today. We're talking about Marcus Mariota, the backup quarterback. I think there are bigger issues right now. And that's what I wanted to get to, which is, you know, we are now coming up on two weekends from the opener. I hate, by the way, I love the three preseason games. Four would be a joke, and they can't do four with 17. But I almost wish the preseason would start a little bit later. We got 2 weeks between the last preseason weekend and the beginning of the regular season. I mean, this will be the third straight year of that, so we'll get used to it. But it used to be just over a week, and then you were ready to roll. They're going to cut down. I mean, you know, somebody mentioned this to me on Twitter, and I'm not going to go look to see who it was, but you know who sent this. You know who you are who sent this, and I appreciate it. That if Jaden doesn't play Sunday night, which I don't think he will, then he will not have stepped onto FedEx Field to take a snap until it counts, which would be against the Giants in week two. That'll be his first moment at FedEx Field. And I think the guy that tweeted me said, isn't there some benefit of having him go out there, take some snaps in one drive just to get the feel of FedEx Field? Honestly, I can't answer that. A player is much... would be much more qualified to answer that, whether or not it really matters. You know, maybe they'll head over there in that week in between and have a practice there. I have no idea what the plans are. But it is a good point. I mean, I think the better point is that if he doesn't play on Sunday night, it will have been 3 weeks since he took a snap between the Miami game and the New England game. In the Tampa game, excuse me. So 3 weeks will have passed. I mean, that's not a bye week. That's multiple bye weeks. And then you're playing the season opener at Tampa. By the way, has Baker Mayfield played at all in the preseason?
I don't believe so. I can check. I can't imagine if he has played. He hasn't played a ton.
In their first game, it was just Trask and John Wolford. So he didn't play in the first game. In the second game... Yeah, he hasn't played. In fact, they haven't played any of their starters. Interesting, because I don't see Mike Evans. I don't see any normal starters. I don't even see normal starters on defense. So it looks like Todd Bowles basically has given his starters the preseason off, unless they're going to play in the finale. Tampa plays, who do they play? They play the Dolphins on Friday night. But 3 weeks from the New England, from the Miami game, actually a bit more than 3 weeks, 22 days between the Miami game and the time that Jaden takes the field for real against Tampa Bay. But to me, backup quarterback is nowhere near an issue for me on the list of concerns that I have right now about the roster. What I want to know from you at 301-230-0980, now that we are nearing the end of the preseason, and maybe for the players that are truly going to play when the regular season starts, it may be over for good. What is your number one concern? Because I think we've got a couple of areas that need discussing. But what is the number one concern for you heading into the regular season? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I think this would have been a consensus offensive line answer before training camp started. I don't know that offensive line is at the top of the list anymore. I want your answer at 301-230-0980. What is your number one roster concern right now as we head towards the regular season? I'll give you my answer. Denton will give you his. And we will take your calls next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live always on the Odyssey app.